This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com. The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Thanks to Care.com for supporting the Paracast. You can save 30% off a Care.com premium membership when you subscribe by going to Care.com/Paracast. So Chris O'Brien is on special assignment this week. We called in J. Randall Murphy, known as usual suspect in our forums. Randall, welcome back. But before we go on, for those who wonder the change, you used to call yourself Ufology in the forums. And then you said one day, can I be usual suspect? Why is that?
Well, what was happening was that there is a number of subjects besides ufology that I would be commenting on, and I often found myself in hot water with people getting into debates, pro and con, and at some point I thought, you know, just to round things out, I should change my profile so that it would apply to more of the discussions I was getting myself involved in and kind of have sort of a tongue-in-cheek feel to it as well. So, you know, I'm kind of the usual suspect who has the MO of being sometimes a bit of a stirrer up of controversy.
Well, we'll certainly stir up some. Now, last week we had Daniel List, better known as the Dark Journalist, on the Paracast, and he got into, like, for about a segment or so, political talk. And then those of you who heard after the Paracast, which is part of Paracast Plus, we had more of it there. I shut down most of it, as many of our listeners know, because I don't want partisan political discussions, except insofar as it covers our paranormal universe. And I think our listeners kind of prefer that. If they want a political discussion, there are plenty of talk shows that do that. You know, we'll talk about, well, what presidents might know with regard to UFOs. We once had a discussion about a book called The President's Vampire, all right? And then I think there was a movie about Lincoln being a vampire killer. Did you ever see that, Randall?
Yeah, that was pretty entertaining.
Kind of a dumb movie, though, right?
Yeah, sometimes you just want to let go of all of your critical thinking and just be entertained, let it go in one ear and out of the other, and chew on some popcorn. And there's nothing wrong with that. I thought the last show was absolutely fabulous, was List on, and you know, you brought it back to the paranormal and ufology by when you were mentioning Hillary's interest in UFOs and her connection with Podesta, which, you know, that really tied it back and brought it back into the show, and that was really good.
But she did know when she appeared on one of the late night TV shows to refer to UFOs as UAPs. So she obviously had kept up with the scuttlebutt. Maybe privately she does read a lot about the subject, but she would not admit that. On the other hand, we have no idea what Donald Trump might think about it because nobody has thought to ask him. Hey, Hillary Clinton wanted to look into UFOs. What do you think? That would be a question that would be worth asking for anyone. All right, so any journalists out there who are listening to the Paracast and understand our interests and the fact that we've talked about presidents and UFOs in the past, ask Trump. Let's see what he says.
What do you think he would say?
Oh, gee. I don't know. I think he tried to walk away from it. Or he'd say something kind of wacky. Or, because he's unpredictable, he might say something absolutely, totally positive on the subject.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. He is very unpredictable. So, I mean, he could say, oh, that's a complete waste of my time. Or he could say something like, oh, that's what that crazy Hillary was into. And you know what I think of her. Or he could say, well, we should look into that.
His aides and his press people will be trying to say, well, he didn't mean it that way. He was just trying to be friendly. Of course, he would refer to crazy Hillary as crooked Hillary. You know, we decided here, because we've had so many discussions about UFOs and MUFON and everything, to go into a totally different direction. So I got a letter maybe a week ago from Joshua Black, who's a PhD candidate from Canada. And you're into, Joshua, grief dreams? Is that where you dream of your long-lost loved one?
Yes, that's part of the definition that I'm investigating.
Explain it more, though. Is there anything about this where there's a perception that they might be in communication with their loved one who has passed on?
Oh, yeah. Like, that's something that I hear all the time. But if we, I guess, go back to what grief dreams is and how people label it, there's many names it goes by. It could go by bereavement dreams, dreams after loss, dreams of deceased, visitation dreams, which is what you're talking about. But all these themes, or what people are talking about, is you have a dream after the loss. And so there's three types of dreams that people can have, and I'll share them. So the first one is when the deceased isn't mentioned or even present. So these are the dreams that more reflect your grief. So here, maybe like a mountain falls on you. Could reflect the heaviness of your grief, or maybe you're searching for something, which reflect you know, like you lost something in waking life. Then there's the other one, where the second theme is that these dreams that have people talking about the deceased, or there's monuments or something that resemble the deceased, maybe like where they maybe passed away, like a hospital. So this is like the second type, and sometimes in this one you'll have sometimes God or angels talk about the deceased loved one, saying they're okay. And then the last one, this is what most people want to talk about and share and know more information on, is when the deceased is actually present in the dream. And so this can be in human form, or it could be in non-human form. So I've seen one where it's a cloud, and the cloud talks to the individual, and they know it's them.
Now, I've had dreams where, say, my late brother, and our listeners know my late brother was Wallace Herbert Steinberg. You can look him up on Google because he was well-known in the healthcare industry. I have a dream where he's just part of it. We're basically having a normal dream, and suddenly, you know, I'm talking to him as if he is just part of the routine. He's alive. He's part of our normal life. Is that considered a grief dream?
Yeah, if he's deceased, so that would be a grief dream. How much of it represents your waking grief is, you know, it's hard to determine. It's just based on your understanding of that. And since it's more of he's just a character in the background, it probably doesn't have much to do with your grief. Most of these dreams that people have after loss, and so some of my research is finding, it's usually one-on-one that they have these images with people that have passed on. And I think that's very interesting. So in the one study I did do, looking at a grief journal of someone's, what happened was as time progressed forward, more dream characters started to appear and more deceased relatives started to appear. But in the beginning of the loss, it's usually one-on-one. And so if it's just like the characters in the dream, and there's a lot of other stuff going on, it probably doesn't reflect much of your grief, but it's probably, a lot of people say it's nice to see them again.
Well, in this case, it's weird because my brother died 22 years ago. I don't think of him that much, not being rude or anything. It's just that you accept the fact that he's gone, and so we have these dreams. My father died in 1988, and occasionally he's part of the dream. So is that part of the same thing?
Yeah. I'd say like it's interesting to just talk about the subject because there's not a lot of information out there, which is, you know, very surprising. And when I started this journey, I was basically left to my own devices because there's really nothing out there. And so everything we're talking about is something that probably should have been analyzed and looked at, you know, 40 years ago, but they just really haven't. So, but what I've heard, so a lot of my understanding is from stories people tell and my own experiences. And I think people say there's a big difference in the dream quality as like what they call it, a visitation or not. But what you're talking about is they're part of a dream.
We have Joshua Black talking about grief dreams and their significance with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast. also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items. And entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And a crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
North Korea openly threatens the U.S. and launches a new missile every other week. Their warhead of choice? Electromagnetic pulse. Such an event would cripple the U.S. power grid for years and leave millions in the dark. Are you ready? You can be with a Solark EMP-hardened solar generator. Solark works day in and day out to keep your essentials protected. You can have peace of mind knowing your power will be there when you most need it. Visit PortableSolarLLC.com to see EMP testing. That's PortableSolarLLC.com. Energy insurance for your family.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
A reminder, we have a second radio show called After the Paracast, and you can only hear it if you join the Paracast Plus. And in recent weeks, we've been continuing shows on After the Paracast. So last week, the dark journalist Daniel List was featured. We had further uninhibited discussions on After the Paracast. You also get the commercial-free version of this show and more. And it's available for a low subscription price. Our price, $1.49 a week, $4.99 a month, and it goes from there.
For more information, go to plus.theparacast.com. That's plus.theparacast.com. We're talking about grief dreams here, where you dream about a loved one, family member, who's no longer here with Joshua Black, who is a PhD candidate. Joshua, before we get further into the discussion, of all the things one could be in looking for a PhD, why this subject?
Good question. It wasn't on my to-do list when I was growing up. I wasn't in school saying, you know what I want to be? I want to be a researcher on these grief dreams. No, what happened was I was in undergrad, and I actually wanted to be an elementary school teacher. So that was my path. And then my father passed away at my second last year. And that changed a lot for me, for basically my understanding of grief, since he was the first one that I really cared for that passed away, and the power of these dreams can have after loss. And so what happened was, you know, he passed away very suddenly. I was actually waiting for him, and he never showed up to take me to a hockey game. And so I get a call about 3 days later saying he was found dead in his place. I was, you know, heartbroken to say the least. And, you know, just the emotion that just came out of that, I just really had a hard time processing it. And so I went right, I was in school. So you go back to school, you try to go back to your routine. And I still wasn't feeling myself. You know, you put on a happy face, you do your thing. But then as I moved forward, so 3 months later, I had a dream and he was a part of it. And I'll share the dream. So I was sitting in my room. So I'm dreaming. So I'm sitting in my room, and everything in my room's the same detail as it was in waking life. And at that time, my room was pretty cluttered. So it's amazing for all the images to be accurate. I saw my dad at the end of my room, and he was looking through some of my clutter. And then he turned around smiling, and I walked up to him and I said, I'm going to miss you, acknowledging the loss. And I said, I loved him, and I hugged him, and I woke up. And the fascinating thing is, when I woke up, I felt different than prior. And so something changed in that moment. And looking back, I sort of think that I had a block because I never got a chance to say goodbye. And that gave me that experience. And from then on, I always valued these dreams, and I had a series of dreams on how they changed and how they stopped focusing on my grief per se, but other things in my life. So I was done school. I didn't really know what to do, you know, with my education. So you try to work, you do things. And so I volunteered with the brief because I liked helping people, and they started talking about these dreams. It brought back all the dreams I had. And so the interesting thing is, when I had these dreams, I never really told anyone. I just sort of kept them private. And so when these people started talking about the subject, I was very curious about it. So I went to the literature, and there wasn't anything there to help them. So I had a choice. Either I just sit back and say, well, hopefully they do the research, or, you know, do the legwork yourself and do the research. And so the way life works is, where I was living in the university, Trent University, there was a woman who actually did research on dreams. So I spoke with her, and she was excited about the topic, and that's how it all sort of came about. And then when I was in my MA, that's when I really understood this topic, what the needs were of the bereaved and what are the challenges that they're facing.
That's really interesting. I kind of like to sort of tie this in with the theme of the Paracast as well. If I could ask you a question, do you think that these sorts of subjective experiences with realistic imagery can be misinterpreted so that the characters are interpreted as objectively real rather than as a psychological manifestation?
So you're saying, like, if I think they're visitations or not?
No, what I'm saying is that when people see something in a setting that looks like it's real to them, for example, we have people that say they wake up and they're still seeing images from their dream world while they're in their waking state. I'm sure you've run across that in your studies. Mm-hmm. And so if you've got a situation where in your dream you're already in a situation that looks to you to be pretty much identical to what's objectively real outside, do you think that people could confuse those two things and then use that to draw the conclusion that, well, there really are people who are separate objective entities that have gone on and passed over to some other reality?
So if I hear you correctly, so when the dream imagery is very real in the sense of what it would be in waking life, how would the mind sort of interpret that? So what's very interesting is, in most dreams, we don't really know that they're not real until we wake up. And so in the moment, usually, unless you're lucid, everything seems real. And so I don't think that changes a lot, but I think what happens is there's a feeling that comes about in the dream that maybe is different than a normal dream. And when that occurs, I think people will start seeing it a certain way when they talk about sort of visitations or afterlife or spirits. And that is sort of probably a similar feeling they get when they see that in waking life, if it's a spirit or something in front of them. There's a feeling, I think, that you get that breaks your idea of what reality may be.
Okay. So do you personally believe that there is some sort of afterlife, or are you looking at this from a purely psychological perspective?
Yeah. So, well, a good question. I would say I do believe in the afterlife. It's just part of sort of who I am, but it's hard to investigate that with the scientific method. So I'm looking at more of a psychological research study to really, I think, shed some light on this, because as we sort of will talk about, the issues that come about from this, from people like who think all these dreams are visitations, who think these dreams are hauntings, to people who don't think any of these are visitations, how it can block and actually impede the process of those who are grieving. So in my own life, yes, like I definitely believe the first one with the one I have with my father was a visitation. And I think that helps me as I move forward in this topic to really, I think, understand the topic in a new level. Not all my dreams, I would say, with my father were a visitation. But there are certain ones that have a really distinct feel to them that it's hard to really sort of talk, like really explain, but they're very different. And you hear a lot of people have these experiences. And what I'm finding, though, is that even if you don't believe that they're visitations and you had these dreams and it's just nice to see them again, because maybe the last time you saw them, they were jaundiced or they're unwell in some way, or they're dead in the open casket. You see them healthy and happy talking to you. Even that experience can actually help people through their grieving process and unblock a lot of things. Which is, I think, a lot of people think, oh, I got to, if it's a visitation, then it'll help me. Actually, I think the opposite. I think that that may be true. But also, just having these dreams in general can actually affect you, whatever your belief system.
I think the big question here is, do you feel that there's any connection with these dreams and some kind of external reality, such as the afterlife, which you express a belief in? We'll have more in a moment. We have Joshua Black. We're talking about grief dreams and their implications with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Fully cooked, ready to eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready to eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready to eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, customers, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681. Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-774-3149 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-774-3149. Again, that's 800-774-3149.
Investing is a long-term process. How many times can you think of in the last decade that the stock market has destroyed retirement funds for people just like you and me? For your existing IRA, you need the security that gold has provided for centuries. Remember, gold has never been worth zero. Capital Gold would like to introduce you to the Home Storage Gold IRA. It's a self-directed IRA set up with all the protection and tax benefits of an LLC. But the big difference in this IRA is you invest in gold and you hold it in your possession. You can't do that with stocks. That's security. You can transfer any type of IRA hassle-free in days. Please call right now and learn more, and we'll waive the $500 setup fee and give you a free safe to store your gold. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. 800-535-7789. That's 800-535-7789.
Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
So we continue with this discussion, and we learn that, guess what, I've had dreams of this nature. But just coming back to this, and certainly as an academic, it's hard to get scientists to look at something like life after death and afterlife. So do you at all feel personally that when people think of being visited by a deceased loved one, that there's some reality behind it, that maybe that individual is contacting them?
Yeah, I can't deny it. And I say, if we can't study it scientifically, it doesn't mean it's not true. It just means we can't study it. As I say, as long as the person who had the experience finds it a positive and comforting experience, who am I to say? And, you know, if it's helping them in their process and helping them through their journey, like, I have nothing against that at all. So, you know, I think that's why I can come in and do the topic, I think, justice, because I, you know, like, I don't mind them saying that. Like, it's not, there's no negative reality for them to believe that. It's only when they think it's a negative haunting, then I sort of educate them on dream research. And I don't know if you want me to go into that, on what that can actually represent in your grieving process.
Well, what about supposed hauntings?
Yeah,
does that take us to that?
Well, this is the thing. When it comes to dreams, so just dream research in general, a lot of our dreams in general are negative in nature. So the average, most people have more negative dreams than positive dreams. And what they're finding is that your waking life actually has a big impact in the dreams you have. And so it's called the continuity hypothesis. And so after loss or any after trauma or anything, your dreams become even more negative. So anything that's going on in your life is actually manipulating your dream imagery. So after loss, you would expect your dreams to be negative. And if the deceased is present, that's something you would expect. So it's probably has something to do with your actually grief and blocks that you've had. And I can share a ton of different dreams that I've collected and had talks with people about negative dreams they had and how it relates to usually anger of the death or feelings of guilt, stuff like that. And so I think that's a good way to process it rather than say it's a haunting and, you know, they're attacking me. Let's actually look at your grief. And maybe that is the reason why it's happening. And what I'm finding in my research is people who have these negative dreams of loved ones also tend to have positive dreams later on. So I think the bigger question is, you know, why are these negative dreams going on? Because most dreams people have of their loved ones are positive in nature. So I would always bring people back to their grief. And if it's an issue with their grief, to let's talk about that. Let's get that sorted out so these dreams become more positive.
Okay, so we can't really, as you say, study afterlives from a scientific perspective for lack of physical material evidence, but we can certainly look at it from a critical thinking perspective mm-hmm. and decide what's logical or more logical and what's more likely to make sense than other things. Me personally, after reflecting quite extensively on that, I'm of the belief that afterlives are impossible in the way that people normally think of them. But at the same time, like Gene, like yourself, I've also had loss, and I've had the kind of dreams actually exactly like you're describing. But there's one type of dream that is of particular interest to me here, and that's sort of premonitory dreams of deaths that happen later.
Yeah.
Like I had one where one of my relatives was meeting me to go to a funeral home to attend to my mother's death, and she was alive and relatively healthy at the time, and people that showed up were actually already dead. They were grandparents and members of the family who had already been deceased, and they picked her up and took her away in the old family car, and I remember waving goodbye to them all as they drove over the hill. Wow. And I thought, that is the weirdest dream. And about 2 years later, my mom, she got really sick and she died. And the same person who was in that dream came to pick me up, and we had to manage her estate. And off she went into the, you know, for lack of a better term, the afterlife with her mom and dad and the old family pet. What about dreams that are premonitory in that sort of
way? And this is very interesting because this is something I didn't know much about until I got into the topic. And once I started asking about these dreams, like, that comes up. So it actually is common for people to have these dreams prior to the person dying. And it just makes me sit with the reality of life, you know, like the mystery of life, because, you know, it's how do you explain it? I still don't know, but I know it's happening. As a scientist, all I can do is say, yeah, this is occurring. And that's really as far as I can go as I sort of ponder like what that means for reality in this life. But I've heard stuff like that where people will dream of the deceased loved one. Yours was 2 years. I had people, it was like the day before. They had no contact with the person. They even know they're sick or anything. They have a dream. The person says goodbye or that they love them, and they woke up like thinking it was weird, and some people felt that the person must have passed away. Then they get a phone call that day saying that the person died. That's what's fascinating about this topic, is that there's just so much mystery behind it. And I like that. And I think a lot of people try to get too bogged down with science. They run their lives through it. They sort of push away that mystery aspect of life. And I think there's something beautiful about staying in the mystery. And these dreams, these precognitive dreams, is one of those things. And so precognitive dreams have been, you know, in all sorts of like religions. And even one of my committee members at Trent University wrote a book called Heads Up Dreaming, all about that. And he looked at that from a scientific perspective. And he found evidence of that. People are doing this stuff, and it's happening. It just, we can't really explain it. I think quantum physics, I don't know much about it, but I hear it might help understand it a bit. But at the end of the day, if people have these dreams, I'm always interested in knowing if it's comforting or not that they had it. It's usually, some people say it is, other people say it was just, you know, it's mind boggling how it even happened. But the one thing I should note is that there are people that will have a dream of the person maybe in trouble or dying, and they wake up thinking it's precognitive, and the reality is it's usually not. And so I think there's a different quality to these dreams that are precognitive, and you may agree or disagree. But a lot of people, if the person's sick already, they'll have anticipatory grief dreams, which could be similar, where the person is dying, but they don't actually, you know, they're not actually dead when they wake up. And it could just be reflective of their grief and understanding that they will die soon.
I think that's a really good way to describe it, an anticipatory grief dream. That's a very neutral way of saying, well, these things happen, and we're not exactly entirely sure why in every case, but that makes a lot of sense, actually.
What's that movie, The Monster's Call? It's about an anticipatory grief dream, basically the whole movie. So it's out there, and like the media has picked it up a little bit, but just the bereavement counselors and those people who are in charge just haven't really received education on this topic yet. And that's sort of the big thing that I'm trying to do by doing these interviews and doing the conferences and stuff and publishing the research, is getting people to start talking about this and allowing and asking the questions, because a lot of people carry this stuff and they have no one to talk to. When they do talk to someone, they usually are given bad advice.
What's some of the bad advice people are typically given?
Well, there's a lot. So one of them, I have a Grief Dreams Facebook group. And so I always, like, people post their dreams, and sometimes they want answers or reflections on the dream imagery. And so, but there's a lot of people in the group, so they all sort of, write stuff. And one person had a dream, and it was, there's a bunch of deceased relatives around a table. So she asked me, what does this mean? And so one of the group members, I don't think she was, the person was being, intended to harm anyone. She just said, oh, I heard, when there's a bunch of deceased relatives in a dream, that means someone close to you is going to die. And then she's like, oh, and the dreamer says, oh, I have a grandmother that's 90, it's probably her. And then the other woman's like, yeah, that's probably right.
Let's continue with this in our next segment. More to come with Joshua Black, grief dreams and their implications. An afterlife, perhaps, with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
You want to save money in a place that gives you growth, control, and certainty without stock market risk or tax risk, and you want guarantees, and you want it all tax-free. That's a tall order. But you can get all of that with properly designed participating whole life insurance. Most people think life insurance pays after you're dead. That's true. But you can have tax-free access to use your life insurance while you're alive. Get the free book to find out how. Call 702-660-7000.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So we were talking about a dream here, I guess, involving a group of deceased people that may be a precursor for someone dying soon, with Joshua Black, and the subject is grief dreams, the afterlife, and that sort of thing. J. Randall Murphy is our guest co-host. Joshua?
So then what happened was the woman, which is very interesting, she then goes, what happens if it's not my grandma? What happens if it's me? And so now she started to fear her own death. And so this is the bad advice. And then the person was not, you know, the person that was really like trying to encourage her that it's someone else, that someone's going to die. She became, you know, distant and not answering anymore. So then she asked me. That's something I was going to do anyways. And what I told her is that in my research, actually, of the dream journal, the woman actually started having more deceased relatives as she started to heal. And I said, that's actually probably a sign of healing, not of anything else. And so she was really happy with that, and she felt relieved. And she also felt, I think, comforted by the fact that, you know, she was healing in her grief, too. So this is what I'm talking about, like bad advice. Another one would be sometimes mediums. They'll say different things on maybe why you're not dreaming of the deceased. And they'll say all sorts of different things, which isn't backed by research at all. But one of the comments is that they're not coming to you because if they do, it'll open up your grief too much and you'll just want more. So they decide not to do it. I heard that one a couple times. And I always look at that very interesting because, okay, like maybe after the first one, but if the spirit hasn't actually came the first time, that's kind of weird because that's all the, what I'm finding is most people that want these dreams want to be reassured that the person can cross over. They want to know that they're still loved, which is sort of the two big things. And so one dream can sort of heal all those things, and unblock some of those stuff that they're working with. So one dream would actually help them more than actually harm them. Yeah, they might cry in the beginning, but it's actually beneficial. That's actually, you know, pretty bad advice because they're saying you have to work on your grief before you get these dreams, where actually that's why I actually started doing the PhD, is because that was my first question, is why are some people having these dreams and other people aren't? And what I can tell you is it's because of more dream recall. So more people remember their dreams and the more people are remembering these types of dreams. And so it may not actually be sort of, you know, that, they're not coming. It's probably because you're just not remembering your dreams in general. And I think that's a better way to approach the topic. And there's different ways to increase dream recall as you move forward. Keeping a dream journal is a good one. Talking about your dreams a lot. All dreams, not that just the ones you want. With that, you're probably going to be dreaming or remembering more of the dream. And so I bring this up because a lot of people, my theory is that a lot of people are probably dreaming of their loved one and producing those images, but they're not just not remembering it when they're waking up.
That makes a lot of sense, and it seems like a really good way to go about it. Of course, the other problem with the type of thinking that you described there is that it presupposes that there is an afterlife, and there are people on the other side who have the intent, you know, some sort of intent of their own that is going to have an impact on your life. And so instead of looking within to see if you can find solutions there, it sort of offloads it onto a belief that is wholly unsubstantiated, really.
Yeah. And, you know, like also go further too with some other bad advice, not just from mediums and stuff, but also from doctors. I had someone tell me that a doctor, they were having these dreams of the deceased, and the doctor said, oh, it's because of your medication. And so they basically deflected it and said it's because of medication. And so they actually minimized what they thought this dream was to them. And that actually would harm them because they thought it meant something and it was something beautiful to them. And I also go also to pastors. There's some pastors who will say these dreams are meaningful, that some of these dreams are from God. Other ones will say it's Satan and it's a trick and that sort of stuff. And so what I'm saying is bad advice is you have to understand what the person believes to understand what advice you're giving. So if someone who has a comforting dream, the person says they love them, they're okay, and they're with Jesus or something, and you tell them that that was Satan, well, all that benefit that would have came from that dream, you have now actually crushed. And now they're afraid to sleep because they're thinking maybe Satan's coming and tricking them. So that's what I'm saying. Like, there's so many people, just because the education isn't out there, so many people giving bad advice in different areas. And it's really, to really, I think, help people, you have to understand what they first believe and then work with that.
So can we say here that the dream is meant to reinforce their beliefs, whatever it is?
Yeah, like for the most part, that's what I see. So if people are dreaming with this, like I see dreams where there's, say, an individual is Christian. They'll have a dream and sometimes there'll be angels with them. Sometimes they'll be talking about meeting Jesus. Sometimes Jesus actually is in the imagery. And so I think, you know, what your belief is definitely will come into the dream a lot. What's fascinating about these dreams, though, is some people who have them will believe that this, they say they are atheists or they didn't believe in anything. They'll have this dream of the deceased that just very overpowering and emotional. They wake up and then now they feel like that was a visitation, which they didn't believe in before. And now they're actually trying to find a religion to help understand what the afterlife is. So I think these dreams can actually not only reflect our waking life, but they can also produce change in our waking life, depending on the feeling that you get.
Okay, so they can be transformative. There's no doubt about that. But I think it depends on your point of view as to whether or not a transformative experience that turns someone religious is necessarily good. So, I mean, do we accept that such experiences are good just because it makes the patient feel good?
Yeah, with grief, it's unblocking something. And if they go to religion, like, I'm not here to debate if religion is good or not, but what I'm saying is that that dream of the person having that and believing that there's an afterlife then wants to quantify it and try to figure out what an afterlife is. And so they go to religion because that's what religion sort of talk about is these afterlife. So it's more about they're transformative, but like the belief is that there is an afterlife. And I think that belief can help people as you move forward in loss. It's not as permanent and they still feel loved, which is one of those things that grief is really working with, is how do you still feel loved when the person physically isn't there to give it to you anymore? There's nothing wrong. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And so if these dreams help promote a positive transformation when it comes to grief, I think it's beneficial. It's only when it's negative or if you're condemning yourself for something, then that you're complicating your grief and it's going to take longer for you to actually, I think, get back into the world and share your love.
Right. But I think you just kind of hand waved a question there in that there are people who think that becoming involved in religion isn't the best thing to become involved in for a variety of really substantiative reasons. So therefore, just saying, well, it's okay if it makes you feel good, I think that's really a bit of a hand wave.
I don't think so, because everyone has, like, I'm not here to debate religion if it's good or not. I'm just here.
Well, that's
that
a hand wave.
People...
That's exactly it. You're saying that if it makes you feel good, it's okay. Don't debate it. Well, on the other hand, if something else you think is sort of negative, then you say, well, you give your advice that you think it's negative and you shouldn't do it. So I think that really qualifies as a hand wave there.
Well, okay. So this is my more maybe question. If your religion actually helps you open your heart to the world and to yourself and to others around you, then that's a positive sort of group for you to be a part of. If it closes your heart, then it's not. And so same thing with the dreams. If it helps you open your heart to the world and life itself, then it's good. Like, how can it not be? And if it closes you up to the world and others, then it's a negative thing. So if that's something more what you're looking for, I don't know.
I would think that at least from a scientific perspective, or at least any attempt at science, what we should be looking for is the truth and what not makes us feel good. You know, it's, if you get what I'm saying, it's not about, well, this, I believe this and it feels good and therefore it's real. I think we should be looking for explanations that make sense rather than what makes us feel good.
Yeah, that's it's your opinion. As I said, it's about, like, for me, and about, it's about how do you open your heart to life? How do you open your heart to yourself? Because life, it doesn't matter what you believe. If your perspective and your and how you see the world is negative, you're just going to be doing a lot of injustice to yourself. You're going to be living inappropriately to benefit, you know, having happiness and helping others. And that's what I see life is about, is about learning how to love yourself and learning how to love the world. And religions, you know, have a part in that. And if taken by a certain perspective, it can really help you. And if people, you know, use it in a more negative and fear base, it's not going to help you. And so same thing with these dreams. Like, if you see these dreams as something that could be beneficial for you, if it helps you believe more in an afterlife, that's not an issue. And as you said, we can't test if there's an afterlife. So we're left with, what is it doing towards you as a person?
Let's ask those questions in our next segment. More to come with Joshua Black and Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
You've heard the phrase, you are what you eat? Not true. Actually, you are what you can absorb. So if the vitamins and supplements you now take are not being absorbed, what good are they? Introducing Protovite, proprietary liquid system that allows premium quality nutrients to positively affect the blood in an astonishing 5 minutes. Watch our amazing 2-minute live blood cell video at TrueHealthFacts.com. That's TrueHealthFacts.com. Then call 502-410-3411. Protovite is nutrition you can feel. Protovite is nutrition that gets in.